Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome back in. It's hour two of the program.
Hey Mike.
Is a big night. Yeah.
Stand back and stand by, bro. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You got something to say to me?
No, I just need you, as my homie, I just need you to stand back and stand by. That's all.
I thought you were going to say lean back. Come on.
Oh, okay. All right. Lean back and stand by.
I tell you what, there's presidential debate was something.
Oh.
As best we can surmise, we're not going deep down into that territory, but you'll read the recaps. It's almost like a box score. Our executive producer, Justin Frostberg, just sent me what I think might be one of the best messages that he possibly could. Someone summing up the debate, quote, if Trump v. Biden debate was an NFL game, with a screenshot of the next Thursday night game schedule. That is your Denver Broncos taking on the New York Football Jets.
That is a horrible sounding game.
Jets getting three. Sam Darnold and company against Brett Rippon. We'll break that down on Thursday as little as we can. Look, I celebrate all 256 of them, but let's face it, some are better than others. And we had, well, what was expected to be a great one last night. Mike Harmon alongside the All-American LeVar Arrington, King of the Mammals. Mm. You find him at LeVar Arrington on Twitter, at King of the Mammals on Instagram, warriorwoke.com. Mm. Get in there training your mind and body to achieve total domination is really what it's all about.
I like it.
Well, yeah. You're getting lean and mean, so I got to follow that path. By the way, 1-900, lose my ass. Yeah, another 7-9 week. So
you want to get some work in.
Couple of tough losses. I got a couple miles in today. The legs are barking, but the blue emu is at the ready.
Nice.
So we will get the blue emu.
Break that emu out.
I'm going to end up buying a gallon of that stuff by the time this is done. But I'm going to be swole and lean.
You ever think they'll play around with the color?
What's that?
You know, like purple.
Well, I mean, you know, orange. My purple pride, but it is blue. Blue emu. Right?
No, I'm with it.
No.
I'm just saying, I wonder if they'd ever, like, come up with, like, blue is, like, overall, but purple might be for, like, your hands or...
Oh, there you go. Different
blue
formulas.
Emu. Y'all need to get at us, man. Like, we're sitting here
men. Yeah, yes. Man.
Orange might be for your neck.
And even if it's not different body parts, I mean, you go into the fan bases. Have that on the sideline,
the
right?
The blue emu. Theory.
I like that. All right, we'll build that business plan overnight. But last night we expected an instant classic.
Yes.
What we got on one side was an instant classic.
Oh, it
you
was
mentioned
an instant
it
classic.
Last hour watching the Chiefs and seeing how far ahead of where the Ravens are.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Ravens perceive to be. Look, a lot of people use this argument. We talked about this game, previewing it on our show Sunday mornings, 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific here on Fox Sports Radio, leading into the Fox Sports 1 and NFL on Fox simulcasts of the pregame shows. A lot of folks were using the argument the Ravens want this more. And I mocked it last night as they were getting beaten from pillar to post like a prelim bum at the beginning of a WWE card. Mm-hmm. Right, here's your headliner. So he makes an appearance, breaks a sweat, and sells some tickets. But he's fighting a tomato can. It's over in 35 seconds. He talks badly about the man and his family. And then he goes off and everybody's yelling for more because they're ready for the next match.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the Chiefs did to the Ravens yesterday. They want it more. They need it more.
Mm.
Right, you want to say take need and put that into that sentence? I can tell you that because even Lamar Jackson after the game said there are kryptonite right now.
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledging that there's a gap. Coach Harbaugh after the game acknowledging they're a better football team than we are right now.
Mm.
And make no mistake about it, that game, but for a Butker miss and a fumble at the 20-yard line, could have become a laugher. And you didn't even get the fantasy saver stats from Lamar Jackson. But I riddle me this, Batman.
Okay.
Coming out of the coming out of that first series where they run the ball so effectively, they get out of it as soon as Kansas City scores a touchdown. Now it's 7-3 or 6-3 after the missed PAT. But I'm staring, and we're in the studio here yesterday, Jason and I, and I'm watching this going, all right, you've now gone away. And by the end of the game, you look at what they've done on the ground, 11 rushing attempts in the last two first halves combined.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't your identity, as much as you want to push the pass game, run the ball, play defense? I mean, no matter what agenda you might want to push, I don't know that you've got the athletes to try to do what the Chiefs are doing.
Here's the problem that I perceive taking place with this matchup. John Harbaugh is too much of a fan of his former leader and mentor from his coaching tree, the special teams coach of the Eagles while Andy Reid was there, of Andy Reid. I believe there is a mental, emotional block with John Harbaugh calling games or preparing for games against Andy Reid. He is 1-4 versus Andy Reid.
And this one was embarrassing, right? The final score is only 14 points.
Well, it's like a sunning. They sunned them. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about like
what,
the sun.
Like that Patrick Mahomes meme like that was one. Going around?
Right. You sunned them.
With his engagement and baby announcement that has Lamar Jackson instead of the embryo.
So wrong on so many levels. I'm looking at the dynamic of how that game played out, and it just seemed as though the Ravens were the little brother to the Chiefs as the big brother. And it played out that way. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, I wonder. You know, it took me back to a time, and it's so funny that we would have John on, who is a Michigan guy. That was how I felt and how we felt collectively when we were preparing for the Michigan Wolverines when I was in college. I remember how that was when we were preparing for the Cowboys when I was in the league. It was just strange because the energy of the uncertainty and the kind of an overwhelming level of concern about how we're preparing, it actually served as a unsettling feeling during the course of the week. Like, we don't prepare this way. You guys don't get so tight. You know, you don't pop off on us and snap out on us the way that you're popping off and snapping out during Michigan week, during Dallas week. And it almost created an environment that was very, very, it was just unsettling. And the way I was watching the body language of the players and them feeling defeated at times and just kind of the way they were coming off of the field or if they had got a win, I feel like John Harbaugh, who still has a quote, "Don't judge," from his coaching hero and mentor who brought him into the game or at least gave him the opportunity to progress to being a head coach. I just think he has such an affinity for him. He has to get over it. He has to either get over having to play against Andy Reid now that he's in the AFC and not in the NFC with the Eagles. You got to get over the fact that you have to prepare like you prepare for every game. You want to know why they panicked and went away from the run? Because they saw how quickly and how long the Chiefs were handling the ball and moving the ball up and down the field. And they panicked. Instead of staying within the true confines and the realms of what they have built and who they are, they panicked. They were basically, Kansas City was beating them to what they were doing. There was a point in time in the game, you saw them sending the defensive ends 10 yards upfield.
Yeah.
If any other team sends their defensive ends 10 yards upfield, Lamar Jackson is going to make your team pay. They felt so confident of where they knew they would flush Lamar to that they told those guys to go there and that's where he'll be. And you know what? He was. They were having a sack party on him. And it wasn't because Lamar isn't as good as we believe him to be. It isn't that the Ravens aren't as good as they need to be. Partially, it's because the Chiefs' defense is maybe better than what
it's
people give them credit for.
Absolutely.
And this Chiefs team is better than what people actually could imagine what they were. But that Ravens team could be much more competitive against that Chiefs team. And that was the biggest disappointment for me of the game, is that you did not allow for your DNA as a team to be a part of the game. You went down the road that you allowed the Kansas City Chiefs to drag you in. You allow Andy Reid to dictate to you, John Harbaugh, what the level of this game, the pacing of the game, the way the game would be played. You allowed him to dictate the entirety of what that was in that game. And he's got to get away from that. He's got to overcome that mental whatever that block is. He has to overcome it. 1-4, you can't get to where you're trying to go if you're not going to go through the Kansas City Chiefs to do it.
Well, you just know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. George Harrison long ago. Hey, reminder, we're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need. And when you need it, with their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today. Start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon rolls on. Smith off tonight. He'll be back tomorrow ready to yell about his Miami Heat. Because as you know, he picked them before the playoffs. I felt like I was contractually obligated to say that. We'll break down that series, get into a little bit of the ins and outs and details and chaos. Because let's face it, the ramifications of the firing of Doc Rivers still being felt here in Los Angeles. And a lot of Laker fans, especially those around our studio, seem to be taking a victory lap as far as that goes as well. So we've got that going on. But we'll talk more about this game. And I think the ramifications, you talk about just the psychological battle that's going
on. That's generally, in those type of games, that's generally the deciding factor, is who has the psychological advantage over the other.
Well, and I think personnel-wise, I mean, there's a gap, right? If we're going to do the check boxes going back and forth,
yeah, but
you know, the receiving core for Baltimore is not what Mahomes
bring. But they missed throws that could have made a difference in that game.
Sure.
They dropped passes. There were like two dropped passes in the end zone.
Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews certainly had their
There were just moments that said to me that the Ravens were clearly intimidated in some type of way, or overwhelmed, or whatever it is you want to use. They were not playing Ravens football. And that was, to me, that was more evident than anything.
You get out of your game, and those deep 20-yard drops, those only work on the old college football video games, by the way. When you drop back 20 yards, like people say, when Lamar Jackson took the sacks, trying to put those on the offensive line. No, if he's going to keep drifting back that way, you get what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put that on the offensive lineman, no matter how you're grading things out. We'll talk about this game more. And then there's a good Dak Prescott story from earlier today. What does it all mean? Because it involves Jerry Jones, and you know how much we celebrate Jerry Jones on the show. LeVar Arrington with me. I'm Mike Harmon, coming to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes, save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. How big is that gap? How do you overcome it? Do you start looking to The Wire and trying to add some help? No, not The Wire, the old TV show. Although that might give you some lessons too. We get into that next year on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back in. Hit that note.
Yeah.
He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us, being part of our extended family here at Fox Sports Radio. We got R.I. on the updates. Our man, Alex Tyshirt, rocking the ones and twos, technical producer. We got Bo telling me all about the Dodgers, like subliminally. And then, of course, Ryan Bershinger in as our exec producer today. Justin Frostberg tag teaming it at home. I will use this quote from Pumping Iron to continue the discussion and really kind of hammer down on what you brought up when it comes down to the difference between
I
where the Chiefs
movie,
are.
I love that movie, by the way.
Well, there's a lot of great quotes.
I love that movie.
As you roll through there.
Go ahead.
But one of my favorites, and this, I really don't get awestruck very often, but I went to a book signing at one point, Schwarzenegger, when he was on the President's Council for Physical Fitness, and they had the different age levels, right? Here's the age-appropriate exercise or whatever. And everybody's asking him about movies, trying to get him to do quotes. I asked him about his old training partner, Franco Colombo, recently passed away, right? Short, but powerhouse,
Powerful,
right? Blows up
the
hot water bottle, all this stuff. This quote from Pumping Iron pretty much says it all, as related back to the Harbaugh-Andy Reid scenario. Quote, Franco's pretty smart, but Franco's a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I am his father.
There you go.
And that's really where we're at.
That's 100% where
we're
at.
And you add Eric Bieniemy to the mix. Right?
He chewed them out. They were about to let up, and Andy Reid has the perfect fire starter. He put a fire. Eric Bieniemy went over to that offense when they had that one failed drive, and he laid into them.
He was pissed.
And he lit a fire under him, and they responded the rest of the way.
Now, I've had a theory, because anytime the Chiefs have a big game, which seemingly is every Sunday or Monday night, the fact is folks get, how does this guy not have a head coaching job?
Mm-hmm.
How does this happen? And I raised my hand from this past year, and I ask you this. Is there anything, and I haven't heard him speak to it, but look at the jobs that were open this past cycle. You want to jump in line for any of those jobs? Even if you are, like, obviously you want to be a head coach, right? There's a lot to it. You're one of 32, the next guy up, big money, generational wealth, all of these things. But if you can go and work and maybe continue the tutelage of Patrick Mahomes while refining your skills as a coach, wouldn't you wait for another job that might be in, get another Super Bowl, but maybe be in a place where there's a better job that opens itself
up? Think about this. Riverboat Ron may have ran out on his luck. They're not good.
No, they're not. They're not. And he's already talking about Haskins potentially being deposed. I mean, they brought in, as we recall, he brought in Kyle Allen coming in from Carolina with him. Folks kind of looked at that and shrugged their shoulders like, no, Kyle Allen balled out. And they balled out for him in Carolina last year.
Joe Judge. Making them run around the field when they need to be disciplined, sliding in the mud, scooping up the fumbles, showing he ain't afraid to get dirty.
So I'm not insane, right?
No, you're not. No.
Because I think it's a theory. I don't know that I've heard this espoused anywhere else. I'm going to sit back and get a better job. I didn't want – if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I wouldn't have wanted those that were available.
The problem with that is it's hard to get those better jobs. Like – Mike Tomlin-type situations are, almost unheard of.
Well, but that's just it, right? Normally we have the carousel does
and,
turn.
And
but also just staying
away,
in Kansas City, though. How long does Andy Reid
And just to take it away,
coach?
And that may be the best. Why
you know what I'm saying, though?
Why not be the successor of Andy Reid? Why not be the successor of Andy Reid? Because Patrick Mahomes is going to be there forever. Why not just wait until Andy Reid doesn't want to do it anymore?
Because that's where I'm at with this, is maybe he didn't want to jump into one of these other roles.
I think he did.
To where he might not be able to win.
Yeah, I think he did, though. And every coach that gets to that point of where he wants to see if he can put together his own coaching staff and win – As a head coach, you know, Eric Bieniemy has proven that he's on that status level now. So, but again, the blessing in disguise for him may have been him not getting selected by those teams that he was hoping or possibly looking to get. You know, a lot of people thought he might have been a great fit for the Washington football team, and maybe he would have been. It's hard to say. But it still looks like much of the same. And I don't know, you know, I really want to say I don't know why it's still so dysfunctional with that team. Because it sounds like from every report that I've received from people that are close to the organization, even within the walls of the organization, is that Dan Snyder has basically submitted.
Ron's running things
Right. It's not the status quo anymore at the park. So I'm not 100% sure if you're just saying that you have to be able to endure the generational curse that has become what it is, and you have to slowly, you know, turn. I always say it, when you're trying to correct years and years, I mean, you got to keep in mind he took over the team in 99. Yeah. So you're talking about over 20 years of just whatever you want to call it.
Go ahead and say it. Poor management.
Whatever you want to call
blank,
it.
Blank, blank, blank show.
So now that's kind of you're now asking whatever coach that is now totally in charge of fixing, or front office people that are totally in charge of fixing a broken culture, to turn a cruise ship around. And how long does that take? If you want to turn that cruise ship totally around to go in a different direction, that's going to take a little bit of time. And you can't just, you know, pin on a pin turn with something so big. So, you know, when you look at the success that this team is having, it's interesting because I was bringing up George Edwards on our show.
Yeah.
And I was talking about how he should be considered, if not for a pro job, at least for a college job. And everybody told me that, you know, that the head coach for the Vikings calls the defense, right? He's always
all about
calling,
Mike Zimmer.
He's always calling the defense. He's calling the defense. Well, then George left and went to Dallas. He's in Dallas now.
Defensive assistant.
Now you look at this Minnesota Vikings team and you now have to ask yourself, what was the level of competency that you were receiving from George Edwards?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Obviously, you're missing Danielle Hunter and you've had you lose Anthony Barr.
Bro, they were playing under standard from the jump.
Oh, but they've been awful. Yeah, through three games, they've been terrible.
From the jump, and it's been largely in part a poor defense. And so my point is, sometimes we hold a tremendous value and we base the value of others off of the tremendous value that we carry for another. So we're looking at the value of what Zimmer did as calling the defenses. We're looking at the value of the relationship that Andy Reid holds with his quarterbacks and how he play calls and how he does all of these things. And it overshadows and it overplays where the people around him at this moment aren't receiving the type of consideration, which it hasn't always been that way. Doug Peterson has gotten an opportunity. Sure. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, John Harbaugh has gotten an opportunity. There has been guys that have gotten opportunities from being on the Andy Reid coaching tree.
Well, because you got two guys there. You got Eric Bieniemy and you got Mike Kafka, the quarterback's coach there, getting a little bit of run, but that's usually more Chicago-based based on his Northwestern ties. But he's the guy helping Patrick Mahomes in that quarterback room along, so that gives him a little bit of a boost as well. But Bieniemy is a guy, I have no doubt, I want to see him run a team. It was just more a theoretical of, did you want to run, other than the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. Who had the personnel that you could say, we've got enough people where I don't have to do a build? Because you mentioned Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. How many teams give you time?
Not
right?
Many.
Flores looks like he might get to build a program college style down in Miami, right? It looks like he, at least for the moment, and they're competitive. They may not be good, but they're competitive. We saw them beat up on the Jaguars, Ryan Fitzpatrick there, everybody waiting for Tua, but they're at least trying to build a culture, change a culture, and it looks like he's going to get his full run. Washington, how many head coaches in those 20 years? A lot.
Quite a few.
Right? Cleveland. It's like a rotisserie chicken, right? Ronco said it and forget it. I know in an hour as it rotates, that coach is coming out. So, I mean, but we have a lot of teams like that. Mm-hmm. So stability, not the thing. So do you go charging from someplace like Kansas City where you've got that for the unknown? Or I guess the known where there's chaos.
Supposed to bring in a person that you believe is going to change the trajectory of your team. That's why you got rid of the former coach and you're looking for a new one. Sometimes I don't even feel as though that's why people hire who they hire. It's strange to me. Like, it's like kind of like, why would you do it?
Sure.
You know, why would you hire this guy?
Does a good sell job in an interview.
Generally speaking, this is for me, it's rule of thumb when I look at living in the business world now, right? Not living in the sports world purely and solely just looking at the sports, but looking at business, I always watch how companies take other companies' top employees. And generally, it's somebody who is making the company that as a competitor. Now, these are competing companies. They generally will recruit away their top employees. And it's interesting to me. And it's like, why wouldn't you? Like,
right.
Okay.
Don't get
like,
best of breed.
You're either going to buy this person's contract out because they have a non-compete clause in their contract because you know the value that they bring to your company, or you're going to have to sit the time out. You're going to have to sit in the penalty box. You're going to have to sit on the sideline until that non-compete runs out, and
right.
then you can go. But nonetheless, you're not going after top employees from underachieving companies. And in business, I have watched it. Like, I have watched it when I was working with apparel companies. I have seen it as it applies to, other things, I'll just say. I don't want
to. You leave Adam Gase alone.
All I know is you go, jeez. All I know is he made a bad decision.
he made
a bad deal. But you know what? Those teams will continue to be bad until somebody figures out how to rectify something that doesn't have to do with the players that are playing
on
Sunday.
But that's the bottom line, right? If you have a bad owner, you can't get out from under that. You can change the coach, you can change the administrative staff, and you sure as hell change the players. But if you got a bad owner...
I don't even know that it's always the owners, because I got to be honest with you. The Giants' ownership is phenomenal.
Yeah, they seem to have gotten snowed and excited about the Patriots tree this time, though.
That is as phenomenal a group of owners
historically,
as you will.
Absolutely.
And so for them to be where they're at, it makes me feel it's like, okay, the Wellington and you know the older Tisch, they passed on. And it just makes you wonder, like, when you look at what the Washington football team was when it was taken over by Dan Snyder, it took him not very long, but it took him a little bit of time to jack it up. So unless I read it wrong and you know, the Mayors and the Tisch family that took over when the seniors passed on, maybe it just took some time for the people, you know, you had Ernie Accorsi in place. He was doing a lot of everything that was
right.
taking place, and he's no longer a part of the organization. You know, maybe it took some time for them to unravel as well. I don't know, but it's hard to explain why the New York Giants are struggling for as long as they've been struggling for.
Yeah, the
I don't
institutional
have a great answer
knowledge
for that.
Leaves, maybe – you know, as big a hard ass or red ass, whatever you want to call him, of Tom Coughlin was, there was a way things were run.
There
right?
was.
And everybody bought in. And right
you
now.
You had to.
And right now you don't. Right? You don't have that. And we've seen it the last iterations. Eli in his final years, we saw some of those ham-handed jobs of handling his exit and the transition to Daniel Jones. They are 12-point underdogs this week on the road here in Los Angeles against the Rams. Just kind of throwing that out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Here we go.
Roll out.
Nicely done.
Roll
He's LeVar Arrington.
roll out.
Fantastic hype man that he is.
When you come to a presidential debate.
Uh-oh.
And they start talking. You gotta.
Mama, no!
You got to just roll on out, man.
No, that's it. A lot of folks sat and watched it all.
Careful.
I may find myself.
I certainly am not going down that rabbit hole.
No. We leave it there. We only have one one-liner thus far from the debate. Tyshirt, if you would.
Would you shut up, man? Listen?
That's it. I mean, that's the ubiquitous. You shut up, man? That was early in the debate, too. So that's one of your starting
off. There
were
a lot of insults being tossed.
Oh, no, that's just it.
Just straight deliberate.
They were like playing dozens.
Well, here.
In a presidential debate.
I'm not going down it.
Leave it. No.
Yeah, I'm not going down it.
No. Get away from that.
You did that.
No, get away. No, all I wanted was the one-liner.
You
were baiting
me.
Because it's appropriate in sports talk radio.
You were baiting me, and I'm not going to take it.
Look,
it was the radio
equivalent of thirst trapping on Instagram. And I got
they
you right to the
They were thirst trapping
end.
On that debate today.
There's no question
Whole
about
lot of it.
It. And we'll leave that right where it is.
Okay.
Whatever side you came out on, you can read it all about it on social media. I recorded it, so maybe I'll subject myself to it later.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
That's part one of the debate sequence as we go through. But talking a lot about, look, I stay away generally from the Dak Prescott world. I think it's one of the most overblown, overhyped stories that just continues to cycle up. I mean, I get it. It's the Cowboys. Play the hits.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, there's a little wrinkle to it that fascinates me. And sometimes maybe we read too much into what's being said. Maybe it's not very well put or articulately conveyed the message. But earlier in his weekly radio appearance in Dallas, Jerry Jones was asked about the Monday Night Football game, his quarterback, and where we're at here in 2020.
As much as just his natural ability to make plays, his mobility. And this guy's very quick and elusive and can get in and out of situations with his feet and buy time. The quarterback we played Sunday is of that kind of nature. He's very, has great ability to get in and out and then make the play. That play Dak made at the end of the game that got intercepted. Well, the result of Dak's ability that let him get that ball off was really great and outstanding. Well, these guys do that, have that ability a lot. Romo had that. And so they could turn his back on it and turn around and hand-eye and get it done quick.
I like that he got Romo in there.
I got confused.
So he was talking about Patrick Mahomes, and he drifted into Russell Wilson. We saw Russell Wilson. You and I sat and watched that game looking at each other.
But
going,
did he,
just keep going up.
But did he say that? Did he say that Dak can do it, but that happened
but
to be an
he
intercept?
Had the ability to get it off, but made sure to point out that interception play. So was it a dig saying, all right, athletically he's on par, but he can't deliver the ball properly? Is that what I'm hearing? Or was it he's in that class, it was just an unfortunate result?
I got to say, that soundbite left me wondering, was he lucid enough to make the point that he was trying to make?
So was that I'm sticking up for Dak because Dak's in that category?
It sounded like he was basically trying to give him a compliment but ended up messing it up.
Kind of smacking him, giving him a backhand compliment.
Like,
there.
I see these guys, they had the quickness, they had the ability and the mobility, his play on words.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a bar.
And that was pretty good, though.
And then, you know, we see guys like that do that, and they can complete the pass, and our guy did it and threw an interception. But then you see guys like, you know, Romo. Romo could do that. Romo could roll out and run every which direction and buy time and throw the ball and complete it. I want to say he was trying to give Dak the credit of being in the conversation with the rest of them. But at the same time, I think conventional wisdom says that the difference between a Dak Prescott and these other guys, like when I had my Tony Romo on the team, is that they can buy themselves time, they can move around and still deliver the ball in a way where it ends up being what you want it to be, not an interception.
So the question is obviously begged from that. Is he also telling us, well, that difference is why I'm not paying him any money?
I mean, you haven't paid him.
I'm not giving him the contract.
You did give him an extension, and that's a whole lot of a commitment for one season. But we still continue to have the debate about why he hasn't given this man, awarded him a long-term contract.
But is this a look inside Jerry Jones' brain right here?
You would have to take that moment and use it at a later date. That's one of those ones you file it away, and right, we'll use this, you know, 6 months from now.
There you go. We'll file that. He's LeVar. I'm Mike. Coming up next, the NBA Finals are getting ready to jump. Let's go.